Philippians is a letter. We've been going through the letter. It's a really encouraging letter. Paul is writing to a church he knows and loves. He planted this church 12 years prior, give or take. And so he is writing to say thank you for a gift they sent. And we're going to learn about one of the person that delivered that gift in actually this section. So if you will, give your attention to God's perfect, never-changing word. This is Philippians 2, beginning in verse 19. It says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth. How is a son with a father? He has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go for me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my needs. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Well, that completes our reading of God's word. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word. Thank you for Timothy. Thank you for Epaphroditus and Paul who wrote about them. Lord, we pray that this morning you would unstop ears that need to be unstopped, that you'd unstop my own heart. I'm a sinner, Lord, as you well know. But Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to preach your word. May my sin not get in the way of your word being preached. Lord, I do ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to start by telling you two stories from my life. One of them happened when I was in sixth grade, if any of you are near that grade. One thing you have to know about me, when I was young, I was a terrible reader. One of my greatest fears was reading out loud. This is ironic, isn't it? I now do this professionally. But I hated reading out loud. And so here I am in a little reading circle, sixth grade, and three or four of us sitting up at the front of the room. I can still picture it. And so we go around, each reads a few paragraphs. And so each time it comes to me, I just labor through, you know, people fill in the words I can't get. And so Sarah, who's in this little reading circle, finally says, can we just skip Nathan? Oh, okay, that was 30 years ago. I still remember Sarah's words. Let me tell you another story. This was in college. This is a guy named Chris Heiliger, who's a friend of mine. A year ahead of me in school, he's in the Corps of Cadets. I respected him. And so I was telling him a story. Someone was ragging on me or something. And he looked me real seriously and said, Nathan, never let anyone look down on you. And he affirmed me. Like, I stood a little taller. I was like, yeah, that's true. Maybe I shouldn't be so nervous. And so that was 20 years ago. I still remember Chris's words. So Sarah's and Chris's words, very different, but I still remember them. And so this morning we're looking at how words are powerful. Words are powerful. Paul is giving words about two of his friends. He's going to tell us about his buddy Timothy, his buddy Epaphroditus. And we're going to look at that and see the powerful words he gives. But I want to slip in another verse. If you see on page 7, bottom corner, slipped another one on you. It's Ephesians 4:29. That verse is a great verse. I love it. We're going to talk about it. And then the application of that verse is what Paul did. So that verse tells you what to do, and then Paul did that. So we're going to look at both. But I just want to tell you that one verse can have a profound impact with your siblings, if you're a kid, with brothers and sisters, on your marriage, if you're married, on your roommate or boyfriend or girlfriend. It's a really good verse. So let me read it to you. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is building good, that is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. It's a great verse, right? A very simple outline this morning. We're answering the question, how are we to speak of each other? Two simple points. Affirm character and affirm publicly. Affirm character and affirm publicly. Let's look at that first one. Affirm character. Okay, so let me give you a little context of what's going on with all these people here. So who's this guy Timothy? Why is he talking about him? Remember, at the beginning of the book, it started with Paul said, this letter is from Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. So it's his buddy. If we looked in Acts 16, he meets this young man. So Timothy's much younger than him. And he kind of took him under his wing. He traveled with him and he discipled him. So really good friends. He's a younger guy. That's important to know. Younger guy. And they're serving together there. The people in Philippi know him. So he would have been there with in the past. And they respect him. And so look at how he talks about him. Look at verse 20. How does Paul talk about Timothy? He says, for I have no one like him. It's a big statement, isn't it? When's the last time you said that to your spouse? Now, you might not want to use those exact words. If you say, I have no one like you, you're going to get elbowed. You better not have anyone like me. I'm your wife right now. So have you affirmed your spouse to say, like, you are different than all others? All of the people that I interact with, I'm so thankful for you. Like, that's a big statement. He says, and what else does he say? He says, I have no one like him who will genuinely, who's genuinely concerned for your welfare. Whose welfare? So the Philippians, right? He says he's genuinely concerned. So it's that's love, right? When we're genuinely concerned for someone. So this is affirming. If you're Timothy, how do you feel? Pretty good to have your hero say this about you. So look at verse 21. He says, for they all seek their own welfare. Other folks seek their own welfare, not that of Christ Jesus. He's saying Timothy's different. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, in the beginning of Philippians 2, he gave some instruction. He said, do not look, this is verse 4, do not look out for your own interest only, but also the interest of others. Okay, so he gave some instruction. Now he's saying, before he said Christ is the pinnacle, right, of that. But then now he's saying, Timothy too. Timothy, you can look at him and see what I was saying. I told you to do this. Timothy does it great. So he's holding him up as an example to the Philippians. Now, is it good to tell your spouse, hey, honey, you're amazing? Yeah, it's good. You're beautiful. It's good. Hey, thanks for getting to the grocery store. Thanks for making dinner. It was really delicious, right? All those are good. Now, is that what Paul's doing? No, he's doing something higher. That's just affirming some action. We like the person. He is actually affirming character. Do you see the distinction there of what Paul's doing? Something more. So it would be more equivalent if you said to your spouse, honey, I love the way you sacrifice your plans so often. You're so willing to sacrifice what you want to take care of us. I really appreciate that. Your selflessness. Like, it really means a lot to us and the kids. Isn't that different than just saying, hey, thanks for going to the grocery store? Right? So you should say things like that. We should say thank you. But also, this is affirming character. Look at the end of verse 21. He says, all others seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Now, I thought we're talking about the Philippi. But he says, you look out for their welfare. But what is the interest of Christ Jesus? His children. And we're his children. So he's saying, you're interested in what's important to Christ, which is his children. Fathers, I want to speak to you for a second. Do you ever say to your child, hey, kids, you know what? Look at mom. Look at the way she just is always sacrificing for us. Have you noticed that? Do you realize that that's godly character in your mom? Mother, or wives, do you just say to your kids to say, hey, do you realize your dad, what he goes through just to take care of our family? Like, he is not putting himself first, right? You can use scripture to say, kids, look, this is a great example. Now, what does that accomplish? Accomplishes, this is like a two for one, right? You're affirming your spouse. Your kids look up to them more. Like, oh, yeah, that is cool. But then they're also learning something from the Bible, right? Is that cool? Yeah, I love that. See, we don't think like that naturally. And so Paul is doing that. He's holding up Timothy as an example. Because I want you to remember, if there's three words you remember this morning, it's that words are powerful. Words are powerful. Like, when you say something like that, if you just imagine your spouse saying that, like, that would feel really good if my spouse would do that. And that's the way we're supposed to speak to each other. That's what we see him doing here. Now, if you have, say you're older and your kids are grown, if you have adult children and grandchildren, this is a really important thing to do as grandparents. To speak into their lives, right? You aren't You aren't scolding them. You aren't disciplining them. You aren't telling them what to do. But you can affirm them as adults and say, I see godly character in you as a father or as a husband, or as a wife, and as a worker if they're adults, in your grandchildren, to build them up. Now, if you're younger, you can't ignore me. If you have siblings, you can do this. How often do you say to your sibling, hey, this is really cool what I see in you? Like, you're what mom and dad said, you're actually doing. That'd be strange, wouldn't it? You should also be like, or your sibling would be like, what's wrong with you? But that's the way we can speak to each other, to build each other up. People just desperately need words of affirmation. You know you need it in your own heart. As you're listening to me, you're thinking, that would be great if someone would do that. And so what I want you to do is be the one who does that. Right? You can't control the other person, but you can control yourself. And as you do that, then your spouse says, huh, that's what the preacher said on Sunday. Maybe I should do it too. But lead by example. Lead by example. All right, so let's look at that Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Now, many of you have gone to the beach, to Isle of Palms. So my wife gave me a really nice camping chair. Really nice until I took it where? To the beach. And at the beach, what does salt water do to metal? You can say it. It rusted, right? So it's rusting. All the joints are now, it's a pain to get the thing open, right? And so that's like corrupting words. It's a little bit like salt water, what it does to great camping chairs. So if you've been married for a while, what's that experience been like for your spouse? Has it been like one too many trips to the beach for my camping chair? Are our words corrupting? So Paul says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. If that's true, like if your marriage, if you're thinking somebody, yeah, if it's probably been pretty miserable for my spouse the past 10 years, 15 years, 20. This is where the gospel comes in. The gospel says, yeah, that's right. And you've disobeyed God in 4 million other ways. You don't even realize that's true of me, too. And so Jesus died on the cross for that. He died on the cross for people that talk mean to their spouses and are grumpy and are like salt water to camping chairs. Right. And that you don't have to bear that. So that's what the beauty of this is, that I don't burden you with things. It's rather to say, look, here's something that the law says, and here's what you do with it. You throw it over to Christ. Hey, could you take care of this? You know, I think he's right. I don't think I speak to my spouse the way I should, or my siblings, right? Do you speak to your siblings ways that build them up? That's the next part of, look, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is for building up. That fits the occasion. Have you ever seen a sailboat? Sailboat out on the water, good breeze, the wind, the sails open up, right? And it just blows it, gliding across the water. That's what affirmation does. You build someone up. It put wind in their sails, whether it's a sibling or spouse, a friend, a roommate, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. It can build up those closest to us, or like salt water, make them a rusty mess. Look at verse 22. Right back. So we're back in Philippians. We're just going to jump back and forth. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it go for me. Did I miss a part? I'm sorry. Look at 22. That was 23. But you know Timothy's proven worth. Again, Timothy's standing taller. How is a son with a father? He has served with me in the gospel. This is his hero. So what if your hero said to you, hey, he's like a son to me. You know his proven worth. Like, wow. That really builds you up. He's building him up. His proven worth. So jump down to the end there of that Ephesians verse. That may build, that good to build up as fits the occasion. That may give grace. Do our words give grace to those who hear? Do our words give grace to those who hear? So, of course, it gave grace to Timothy. But who else heard it? Right? So this takes us to our second point. Affirm publicly. This is not a private letter. He didn't just take Timothy and say, hey, buddy, you're great. You're proven worth. There's no one else like you. He said this to who? The whole Philippian church. Wait a second. We're still reading it. So 2,000 years later. For 2,000 years, Timothy's character has been publicly affirmed. Now, your words can't do that. I'm sorry, they can't have that impact. But it did here, didn't it? That for thousands of years we're reading about. And so I still remember words from sixth grade. Can you remember any words from your childhood? Someone that built you up or tore you down? Decades later. That's powerful. Do you realize you have a resource that is that powerful? That can last decades. Decades in your spouse. Decades in your children. Decades in your siblings, in your friends, in your schoolmates. It's crazy. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. So here he is. He's doing it publicly. He's saying, but he's not done. He's going to talk about his other buddy. Look there. Verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. All right, kids. Use those fingers you got. I want you to count. I'm going to read one verse, and you count how many times, how many things Paul tells about Epaphroditus. Are you ready? All right, I'm going to read it again. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my needs. All right, hold your hands up. How many fingers you got? Yep. Five. In one verse. Five things. Good job. You can put your hands down. So he says, Epaphroditus, he's my brother. Now, who is Epaphroditus? He's likely a leader in the Philippian church. He's the one who brought the gift. Okay, so he's in Philippi. He comes there. He brings the gift to Paul. And so all of them know him, right, in Philippi. And so here's Paul saying, Epaphroditus, he's my brother. He's a fellow worker, fellow soldier. He's building him up. Again, how does this make Epaphroditus feel? Like, these are real people. This is a real letter that was written from Paul to the Philippian church. And Epaphroditus is feeling really good right now to say, wow, Paul is affirming me. But here's the cool thing. You know who's going to deliver that letter? Probably Epaphroditus. He's going to finish writing it. Sticking out Epaphroditus' arm, he's going to go to Philippi. So he read it for the whole church. That's pretty cool. Right, Epaphroditus? I didn't write it. I didn't say any of this. Paul wrote all this. It's so affirming. It's building him up. Look, he says more. So when Epaphroditus comes, he got COVID. No, he got something. So 26, for he'd been longing for you all. He's been distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. So poor guy, Epaphroditus comes, brings the gift. He comes there, he gets sick. He's about to die. He's so sick. But he says he's actually upset because he's worried you guys will be sad if you hear about him. So he says, indeed, he was ill, 27, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, because Paul loves him. So I would have had sorrow upon sorrow if the poor guy died. Look at verse 30. For he nearly died for the work of Christ. Again, he's affirming him. He said, hey, your buddy came here and almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to complete. It's pretty cool, huh? And Paul is just building up these two guys. Do you see how he's doing this with his words? And so both, and it's going to be read in front of a lot of people. Do you ever do this? Husbands, you have an amazing power to fill your wife's sail. Do you ever compliment her publicly in front of other people? Like, not in silly, playful ways, but in serious ways. Like, you just compliment the how amazing your spouse is. Like, it means a ton to them. And wives, you can do the same thing. It really builds up your husbands. Kids, do you have a big brother or sister? If you have a big brother or sister, how would it feel if they said something really nice about you in front of their friends? That'd feel really good, wouldn't it? If you're a big brother or sister, consider that. Consider the power that you have as an older sibling to speak into a younger sibling's life. Like, we don't normally think that way. We normally want to make fun of our siblings. We think that's pretty funny. But Ephesians 4:29, our words should build up, not be like salt on my camping chair. I'd be corrupting words. You know, so I put that in the corner so that the Ephesians 4:29, if you would consider tearing it out and putting it on your bathroom mirror, you can memorize it. I have. It will have an impact on you. As you brush your teeth each day, you're looking at that verse. You're saying, I have opportunities today to build others up. It's a great use of that verse, Ephesians 4:29. And I want to encourage you to use Scripture with your children, right? You need to use it to correct them, right? I said that a few weeks ago. to say, look, you're not looking out for your own, you're looking out for your own interest. You're being selfish, little guy. Right? But you can also use Scripture to build up. Do you ever do that? Do you ever say, hey, Johnny, you actually were unselfish. That's exactly what this verse is saying. You heard we talked about that at church on Sunday. You build up. Your kids should realize that Scripture actually is helpful, not just to tell them how they're wrong, but also tell them and affirm what's good in them. That we can use Scripture to build up both spouses and kids. It's an important use of Scripture. Now this week, you're all going to celebrate Thanksgiving, right? As you think about people you're thankful for, please consider this. Think about a way that you could affirm them. Someone that you love this week. Not just something surfacey, but something about their character. Take the opportunity this week and affirm someone. Way better than any turkey or stuffing you give them. Our words, they'll remember that. They won't remember that turkey. They might remember your words for a decade. It's crazy. It's true. We remember words way longer. So Paul has built up Timothy and Epaphroditus, right? And who's cooler than Paul, right? To have Paul, is there anyone cooler than Paul? Like, who's the coolest person that's ever affirmed you? All right, so I got a cool Bible verse. This is Matthew 3:17. Here's the story. Jesus getting baptized, right? He's been baptized by John. But all of a sudden, break through the sky, we have the voice of God. God says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Okay, that's cool. From the sky, God is saying to Jesus that this is my beloved Son. I love this guy, and I'm really pleased with him. It's the only time in history it's happened. Sorry, unless you're Jesus, the sky doesn't open for you. But here's the cool thing. All right, now let's go back to the gospel for a second. The gospel says, you're a sinner, I am, you got sins, you give them to Jesus, Jesus pays for them on the cross. What do you get? You get his righteousness. You get his identity. You're bound up with Jesus. So when God looks at you, he sees who? Jesus. He sees Jesus' righteousness, his character. So when the skies opened and God spoke, he was speaking to you, Christian. It's true. If you have his identity now, you get those words. You are his beloved child. He loves you. He is well pleased. Yes, you're a sinner, but Jesus paid for that. In God's eyes, he sees you as righteous. Isn't that awesome? Like, that should put wind into your sails. That should put wind into your sails. Please remember, words are powerful. God spoke words to you. And we can speak words to each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you spoke those words. Lord, thank you that because of Christ, I, a really average guy, get to be beloved by the living God. All of us. There's nothing great about us, but Lord, to be great in your eyes, oh, what a blessing. Lord, I pray that would put wind into my brothers and sisters' sails this morning to know that you delight in them. And that they may make use of their words to speak life and grace into each other, to affirm character they see in their children, in their spouses, in their friends, roommates, boyfriends and girlfriends. Lord, that we may use Scripture to build up, not only to correct. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.